Jennifer Rosner's first novel, The Yellow Bird Sings, has now been followed up with her second novel, Once We Were Home, which reveals a little-known history. It's based on the true stories of children stolen during wartime, a heart-wrenching novel that raises questions of complicity and responsibility, belonging and identity, good intentions and unforeseen consequences as it confronts what it really means to find home. Again, the name of the novel is Once We Were Home by Jennifer Rosner. The book is published by Flatiron, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jennifer Rosner to the roundtable this morning. Thank you so much for being on our program.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
What brought you to this particular story, a story based on the true stories of children who were stolen in the wake of World War II?
So I was doing research for my debut novel, The Yellow Bird Sings, and I was interviewing hidden children of the Holocaust at the time. And I ended up meeting a hidden child whose wife actually had been, she survived the Holocaust in a Siberian labor camp. And when she returned to her native village in Poland, she learned that just something like 3% of Jewish children had survived. And she ended up joining a mission that, you know, aimed to retrieve these, any children who were still alive, who were in hidden, who were in Christian settings, you know, from wartime, and who were then being raised in those settings. This mission kind of grew to try to reclaim them back for Judaism. And, you know, at some, in some cases, they would go and, you know, try to sort of negotiate to ask for the children back. But in some cases, when the, you know, harboring families didn't want to return the children, as she told me, that they would just kind of, you know, grab them, take them from the field at dusk. They would do other kind of things to try to get the children. And I was just really surprised by this history. I hadn't heard about the retrieval of children after the war in general, and then some of the kind of ways in which it happened. And then I started looking into other histories at that time and saw that, so there were these missions of Jews who were trying to reclaim Jewish children by, you know, kind of taking them from settings. And then there were other kids who were in Christian settings for whom, you know, when surviving relatives came to reclaim them, to bring them back to their family, the church would take them on the run and shuffle them over to the Pyrenees and try to hide them, et cetera. And so they were engaged in trying to, you know, take children really for their salvation in their minds. And then I learned of a third way in which children were taken during wartime, which was part of a Nazi program for Germanization, where soldiers would go find children in Poland and other countries who could pass certain kinds of caliber tests and eye charts and hair, you know, charts, et cetera, and be look Aryan enough to become, you know, placed in Germanization centers. So it struck me that for various ideologies, there were children being moved all around during and after World War II in bits of history that I didn't think were very well known and seemed really important to me, especially because we were watching the movement of Ukrainian children by Russian soldiers and starting to realize that children are moved all the time, you know, sometimes forcibly, you know, in accordance with adult conceptions of either what's best for them or where they belong. And very little has been written from the children's perspective of, you know, how they struggle with their sense of self and identity and belonging, et cetera, after these kinds of ruptures and movements.
Tell us about these two children you read about in this novel, Anna and Oscar, and the pivotal role they play in the story.
Yeah, thanks. So Oscar and Anna are a sibling pair, brother and sister, who are stowed with a Polish farm family for safekeeping during the war. So their parents are aware that a roundup is coming, and they have a, you know, sort of a connection with this family who is willing to harbor them. And they are raised there. And I purposely made them different ages. You know, Oscar is 3 when he comes to this Polish farm family, and Anna is 7. And by the time the war ends, you know, Oscar is 7 and Anna is 11. And they have very different memories and different relationships with both their original family, their parents, and this farm family. And so when what they were calling an operative for the redemption of Jewish children comes to the door and tries to get them back, for Oscar, it's losing the only family he even knows at this point. And for Anna, there's sort of this hint of a possibility of a return to something she remembers, because she has in her mind her past life of living, you know, in a Jewish family. And so I wanted to explore the different kinds of reactions a child might have to this sort of movement, depending on their age and their memories and the relationships they form. And, you know, I read a lot about the operatives who did this work and the children who were moved. There's an amazing historian, Emuna Nachmani Gafni, who writes, she has a historical book called Dividing Hearts, all about this kind of movement of children from, you know, being moved from Gentile, you know, houses back to Judaism. And it was really fascinating because the operatives who are doing this work are mainly Holocaust survivors. They had lost everyone in their families and their villages, and they felt this moral imperative to try to reclaim the Jewish children, like to not let any child be left behind in a Christian setting, because they had lost so many and there was so much annihilation, and they felt that they would be rebuilding the population, you know, rebuilding Judaism. But it was one of those things where, in a way, they were focused on the collective and not necessarily each individual child. And they also, you know, I think there were other moral imperatives in their mind, like they thought that in some ways they were honoring the last wishes of parents who've perished and probably didn't actually intend for their children to grow up in a Christian setting, and they hoped they would come back for their children, but then they didn't survive. So there were a lot of pressures on these operatives to take the children. But then in later years, when you read their testimonies, there's also this kind of retrospective questioning about whether it was really the best thing, because some of those children, you know, had really found a way to reroute after losing their family, you know, with this new family. Right. And then they were ripped from that again because they were, you know, being moved into Judaism. So it was very wrenching and complicated. And Asher and Anna in my story kind of represent that particular narrative, the line involving Jewish reclamation. And I should also say, you know, where they called it the redemption of Jewish children, but there was these like linguistic disagreements about what you would really call it. And, you know, so there was, you know, some people were calling it rescuing, and then there was like a backlash because these righteous Christians had really rescued these children during wartime. And so some people said, you can't use the word rescue. So they tried reclamation. They tried redeeming. Some called it ransoming because they were offering money. So there were all kinds of textures to this storyline. And it was interesting to me, and it had a lot of psychological complexity to it, you know, for different, you know, the reactions of different children and how they ever did figure out how to like reroute afterward.
So many years later, as you mentioned a moment ago, of the rebuilding of Judaism, but there's also, for these two characters, a rebuilding of lives for themselves, that these horrible things happened, and yet they're building their lives.
Yes, and, you know, as survivors did, you know, they landed in a new place, and then they tried to put down new roots, and they tried to figure out what they believe and who they think they are, you know, because a lot of them struggled with faith after this, because some of them, you know, were raised as young children in Christian settings, and they were brought to church for their safety, right? You know, they were part of the family. They would be said to be nieces or nephews, or they were hidden in a convent, so they would go through, you know, confirmations and stuff. And, you know, it was quite soothing for some of those children to be in amid these rituals and the music and the, you know, waxy scent of candles, et cetera, you know, all that they kind of right. absorbed as children. And then they were taken and said, actually, you're Jewish, and now you should figure that out, your faith, et cetera. And it took I interviewed one woman who, I think she was, you know, in her 80s when she sort of really made peace with her, you know, her original Jewish heritage. And so it was that part, but it was also just even how to connect to another person after many ruptured connections, and, you know, how to be in a relationship, how to raise a child, how, you know, when their own lives had been so fractured. So there were a lot of challenges to that new life building. And some people, you know, buried and never talked about the past, and others, you know, were involved. So, and you know, some of these operatives stayed in touch with the children who they moved, And that's where it was really interesting, because some of them who followed the children all through saw that there would, you know, that they were struggling with some psychic damage after these movements, and whether it was the right thing or not, it, you know, it's just a morally complex and very kind of blurry situation, because you could totally see why they felt they needed to get them back. And then on the other hand, as each individual tried to struggle with it, it was really, really tough.
Tell me about what you hope, I guess the book was out in hardcover, is now out in paperback, of the response that you've gotten and what that has been like, and certainly what it's been like in comparison to what you hope people got out of the book.
I mean, it's been very touching to meet people. I met a woman in Austin when I was giving a book talk there who said, I feel like you told my story. Like, I feel like I was reading, you know, my narrative, because she had been, you know, hidden in a Christian setting. And in fact, in her story, her father survived the Holocaust, but when he came to the door, she didn't know him. She was so little, and so much time had gone by, and she didn't remember him, and she didn't want to leave. And then he did take her, but he had no money and no job and no resources. He was just, you know, coming out of a survival. And he ended up putting her in an orphanage, which was horrible for her, and she made a huge fuss and eventually ended up back with the family that she had been living with. And then when her father had kind of gotten on his feet, he got her back again, and the relationship was somewhat complicated for her whole life, but it sort of demonstrated the emotional complexity. You know, we often think about these kind of reunifications and we have a bit of a Hollywood instinct on them, but you know, relationships are complicated, and you know, these parents had to make these wrenching decisions to, you know, to put their children in the care of others. But then those children, in an adaptive way, started forging these new relationships with their children. So, you know, to hear people feel that it resonates, that this was an experience, you know, that really related to their own, was very moving. And then to hear also the feeling that these issues haven't really been, you know, aired, that there's these histories that haven't had a lot of time, you know, for people to think about, haven't been exposed in many ways. And so this novel is sort of, you know, has that kind of quality of shedding light on histories that aren't so well known. I felt really rewarded by that too. And I mean, it's kind of why I wrote it. I was like, I've never heard of this. And I've actually been steeped in this history for years. And so that was great. And I think just us keeping our eye on, you know, what it's like for children in wartime is a really important thing. And since there are wars on, and trying to think about how children cope and process and how they move on after, or have struggles with moving on after, is really important for readers, you know, for all people to keep in mind. So that's been part of the reception too, to feel that people are keeping this in mind, you know, learning of these histories, but also kind of, I don't know, applying them to our present situation and trying to understand the damages that happen to children in war. I mean, not that it's easy for adults either, but you know.
The name of the book is Once We Were Home. It's such a captivating and enlightening novel. Jennifer Rossner, thank you so much for spending time with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to have been here.
Be well. Thank you so much. Again, the name of the book is Once We Were Home by Jennifer Rossner. The book is out in paperback and published by Flatiron. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.